I know this is your heavenly Father. What I seek is family, saith the Spirit of grace. For I've never desired or designed religion and the tendance of man and all of everything that man has put together to describe me, saith the Spirit of grace. Know this, that when you look into the heart of a father, that you're looking at everything that I desired when I sent him, saith the Spirit of grace. For know that everything that you could possibly in this hour, in the hour of your testing, in the hour of your going forth, and even in the revival that you affectionately call in, know and understand that the closest that you'll ever come to knowing who I am and what my desires are on this earth is to look at family, to look at my desire to gather unto myself a family, and you to be a family to me, and me to be a family in you, one to another, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. For I am a father to the fatherless, and I am a father to those who have less than an understanding of who a righteous father is. I desire to gather in all those whom you're praying for and even have not seen their faces in the flesh. But oh, that they would know you and that they would know me, that they would know me through you by your love one to another, saith the Spirit of grace. So when I describe family to you, it does you no good, no earthly good, to go into long dissertations of impressive ordinances of describing with great eloquence of who you think I am as God. Simply say, I love them as a daddy, and I want to bring them in as a father. For the blind will see, and the lame will walk. And those things that you've desired for so long a time, he said, you'll bring others in. And you'll say beforehand, oh, this may seem a little weird to you and a little strange to you, but one thing that you will watch is you will see the power, saith the Spirit of grace. You'll understand my grace and my glory in these last days through my power. And my power will be exemplified by the way that they feel and know my love in your atmosphere and in your presence, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Don't ever think that God plays fair. He doesn't play fair. He'll take something and twist your heart. And he caught me in a moment. And I looked over and Josiah was like this. He was crying his eyes out and I hadn't seen him. And he was standing there. His Nana's on the stage, so he'll go to second best, which is me. He was just screaming almost, if you'd have heard him. His mama was behind him, just taking it all in, laughing or smiling. And then I went into the Spirit. I moved towards him. I mean, there was nothing that I can't describe. It was like none of you were important anymore. The service was not important. If there had been a gorilla standing between me and him, the gorilla would have went down. And immediately I went, just slipped into the Spirit. And God said, son, that's how I move towards you. When you stand there, cry out to me. So those same feelings that you have towards an unconditional, passionate kind of love that'll just go to any end to meet your need. He said, that's how I move towards you. And he meant all of you. My body, my sons and daughters. So that's how I move towards you. There's nothing that'll stop me from moving on your behalf. When you lift those hands and cry out and say, Abba, there's nothing that'll stop His love. What shall separate us? He said, nothing. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I was about ready to close the service here. Then He just wanted me to reiterate to you a little poquito advertisement. What He's been doing for a long time is I've been holding Him back. I'll confess. Okay. The truth hurts. Might as well bring it out. Come out of the closet. I've held us all back. The reason why we haven't had revival, me and some more like you, we've held it all back. Why? Why would you do that? Oh, because I've been saying in my heart, I don't want it until we can carry it all the way through and cause it to last to the end and not see it crumble up like almost every other revival and move. You want history on it? Don't take my word. I can loan you. You got to bring them back. Two books, God's Generals. Men that you'll look at, you'll say, oh my God. And then by the time you get to chapter 4, you'll be saying, oh no. Oh no. Oh no, that couldn't happen. Great and mighty moves. People, souls being 700 at a time, just in little villages, people riding by and saying, they just dropped to their knees and saying, what must I do to be saved? Great, great. Evangelism outreaches. And yet Satan found a way to corral every one of them. We've had two or three modern, kind of not the ones that we're necessarily asking for, but I respect them. Like, you know, when people get souls saved, Brownsville, Toronto, there's something going on in some other place I won't mention right now. But he found a way to corral all of them. You know, when something starts, it's never God's will for it to end. Well, Paul said this. I was going to teach it, but now he's going to exhort it a little bit, not all of it, because I think he'll take me back later and teach it for posterity purposes. The second part of Paul's boasting stops the mouth of bad preachers. But you got to understand this, Paul specifically, and he wasn't out of line with it. I can show you where Jesus said the same thing about you and me. He said what Satan came to him for most, more than anything else. But he said later on in the same chapter, when I was with you, God demonstrated in me the power. And he said signs and wonders were in your midst. But earlier in the chapter, in 12, 2 Corinthians, he said, what made Satan come after me with more ferociousness than raising the dead or winning souls or anything that I could have possibly done, what made him hate my guts to no end was the soundness of doctrine that was given over to me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Why? Why does he hate it so? He hates, now don't get me wrong, he hates it when people are getting saved. But if he can look inside and see, wow, they got a glitch on the inside. Eventually, if that's not corrected, they'll get real weird before it's all over with. They'll get real weird. Then he'll start working on that. And it doesn't matter to him why you're getting souls saved if it takes him 2 or 3 years to bring the weirdness to an equal portion of what's getting the soul saved. So when that anointing of weirdness goes to a place of the anointing of getting souls saved, then he corrals it. And then it goes to a place where you look back and say, oh my God, how did that happen? There was one time there was thousands getting saved. How did that happen? Well, weirdness went to its fullness. Why? Because when doctrine, what you're talking about doctrine, some people cringe because they think. But I can tell you that it's Jesus used the word and the apostles used the word. Not just once or twice, but many, many times to describe all it is. Now, if it scares you, doctrine is truth. It's truth. It's truth, but from God's mind, not man's mind. And man can get together and give opinion. But it really doesn't matter if it's not birthed by the Holy Spirit and He's not your teacher. Even after you get this word, you still have to have a teacher. And there's one way that He's able to bring forth that teaching to you. He can trade off your spiritual, weirdness for His doctrine, which is right thinking. And besides for that, the ones where weirdness didn't get them, the flesh got them. Oh, the flesh got them. Either they love the love of money, or Susie Q got to be looking really good. The man married 35, 40 years. Didn't make sense. Wait a minute. She's uglier than his wife. She's more prettier. No, it don't make sense when a spirit of lust gets a hold of you. Well, he fell because he was getting a bunch of souls saved and the devil from hell so mighty and so strong just came and just put it. No. There hasn't been one designed like that. Sure. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Amen. You had to have some kind of program that eventually, eensy beensy spider went up the water spout. Look a little here and you'll find yourself without. So, to start with, it may be innocence in a certain sense, but then in a little bit it turns to superfluity of naughtiness. I don't know how I just arrived here at the water fountain the same time she was here, just so we could fellowship a little bit. And if the Holy Spirit's not the one praying for you, then that stuff can run like a low-grade fever, like a virus that's inside of you for years. And you know what He'll do? He'll tee you off. He'll set you up. He won't even come after you. That stuff's in you, but He won't even come after it to blow on it until you can get a lot of people looking at you. Get your face on TV. Get people knowing who you are and what you're all about. And boy, He just tees you up, boy. He's just like, man, he's waiting, boy. He's just waiting. The devil, they got a bunch of demons sent. We know He's got it in Him. His wife don't even know what He was looking at last night. He said He was up watching the NBA. He wasn't watching no NBA. Them fingers was on a website that, there wasn't nobody playing no basketball. Can we go after him to destroy him, Mr. Lucifer, Satan, sir? He's not done cooking yet. Get some more broadcast out there on him. Get some more people. And they can't get people born again, but they'll sure stand back if something good's going on. And he'll say, can we go after him? Don't nobody touch him. That's their way to promote. Don't touch him. Don't even touch their money. Make sure they got plenty of money in the house. They can do anything they want to. They can buy another radio station. They can buy this. They can do that. Then the day comes. They got millions looking at him. Go after him. Then he cannot hide it any longer. Meet me over at the blah, 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 blah. They're just waiting. Boy, they're going to tee off now. And when he falls, millions go with him. Then they say, my God, he must have woke up yesterday and a devil come because he's been getting people saved. No. No, he might have had that in him 14 years. And the Holy Spirit, now I can tell you, people sometimes will get scared and then they'll feel really bad when I'm talking like this, or the Holy Spirit's talking like this, because you know maybe you're dealing with something. Don't worry. And I'm not saying sarcastically, listen, if you'll let him, he'll never expose you. He'll deal with it all behind the scenes. You don't have to come to preacher. You don't have to come to nobody. Just get it under the blood and go on with life. You don't have to go tell anybody about it. Just go get in your prayer closet and say, God, I know what's in there. Jesus' blood paid the price. Satan has taken a natural man, God-given tendency, and he's perverting it. He's pushing it way beyond its accessible, acceptable limits. Now, Father, forgive me and deal with it. And even if it takes a little bit of time to deal with it, find out how to deal with it. Fasting will deal with it. Praying in tongues will deal with it. The advertisement, since I remember now what my assignment was. The Bible says, I think it's Ecclesiastes or Proverbs, don't you brag on yourself in essence, but let another man's mouth brag on you. So I'll do the other man's mouth. What you're going to hear next week is probably the most soundest doctrine that's on planet Earth. It's on planet Earth. Line on line, precept on precept. And I can testify before you, before God, because I know him behind the scenes and have traveled with him. He's the same way. He's the same way. You're not hearing something out here and then act a different way behind the scenes. But I've never met somebody that had more soundness of truth. And why isn't God giving him his revival yet? Why? Because he keeps asking God, when you do give it to me, Father. He's thought a few times, I'm ready now. And it wasn't like any of those things that I just described that was holding him back. He wanted the pureness of the agape of God so strong in his life. I can tell you, the devil's holding some of this back, but a lot of it is God's just saying, hey, you're almost there. When I saw Josiah this morning, he just started walking real good in the last week, but he was standing there and he was saying, take me, take me. We're right there. We're right there. And our Father is about to take us up in arms for a revival that, look, I would rather have a revival that lasted 2 years and Jesus comes than a 10-year or a 20-year and me run off with somebody or, you know, start teaching you that, hey, you can all have some kind of personal, now I'm being nice, some kind of personal angel that you name and that he or she will follow you around and that'll be your personal and get into some kind of, you know, and that's not meant to go against anybody. I'm just telling you how weird things can get. And somebody will come in and say, I got a revelation. And oh, now listen, there's no greater revelation than his love. And I'm finding out that the more that we walk into his love, he's just simple. He's just powerful. Don't give me your heavy revies and not be able to walk in love and just lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I'm not interested in sitting up all night with a cup of coffee and listening to where you went and how you came back. If you can't just, you know, Paul only mentioned that one time. And he mentioned that he went to heaven. One time. It wasn't like he went there every day. He mentioned it one time. And then while he was mentioning, he was saying, you know what? I'm being foolish to do this. And he said, I'll forbear. In other words, I'll stop. Lest you see me higher than you think I ought to be. Because, folks, if y'all think I go to heaven, I just stay here and love Jesus. And He comes where I'm at and fills the room. And there's power in that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, he's corralled more revivals. 2 books. The guy couldn't write just one. He had to write 2. God's Generals. About the favoritest one I have in there. And yet, I'm sure there's some difference in doctrines. But as far as integrity, that never messed up his integrity with Smith Wigglesworth. Just integrity. But folks, it's not that we're better than them. We're standing on their shoulders. Just a little over 100 years ago in the early 1900s, there was no speaking in tongues in this nation. Topeka, Kansas, Azusa Street. Los Angeles, California. This was birthed. It's 111 years, 1900, 111 years. And now we're praying these mysteries, praying these mysteries. He'll never send us back into the dark ages again because we're praying the mysteries. Hallelujah to God. He doesn't like me talking this way, but it's okay. Because I got a higher power that's ruling and reigning over my life. Soundness of doctrine. Soundness of truth. It doesn't put you into a... I never understood why people would say, I don't really want to get into all that doctrinal stuff. You're putting God in a box. Now, wait a minute. If He said it and described Himself and said, this is the way I want you to know who I am. I'm writing it down in Scripture so you'll know who I am. And I'm telling you the truth about it myself. And then we're going to take that doctrine and say, God, if I believe this about you, then I'm putting you in a box. What people will say is, no, wait a minute. Don't put God in a box with your doctrine. He's the one that's put His own self in the box. He's described His own person. I'm just entering into what He says about Himself. If I take what He said about Himself and say, this is who you are, Father, He says, that's who I am. You're not making me anything that I'm not. But when you begin to say, wait a minute, God can just do anything He wants to. I know it says that, but He can still do anything He wants to. No, He can't. He can't lie. He is what He is. I am what I am and I is what I is. You can't. No, He can do. He can go and, yeah, He can make somebody sick. No, just so He can get the glory later. No, if He did that, now he's messing up on Himself. He's lying about Himself. Now, Pastor, now wait a minute. You're putting Him in a box. He put Himself. That's why I can wake up and believe everything about Him and go into His glory, because I don't have to guess Him like, okay, I never understood that sometimes. Sometimes this vowel will be this, this, and this. And sometimes it sounds like sometimes a Y is a this. And sometimes, no, wait a minute. Make them all the same, because I can't speak real good to start with. You know, your alphabet and your sounds and your spelling. God's not like that. He's the same way all the time, all the time. So when we get done, listen, pray for your pastor, because we're a long ways from being perfect and we have not arrived. But I can tell you the reason why this man will come next week and give us sound doctrine. The reason why is he's meditated the Word excessively and he's prayed in tongues excessively, in which the Holy Spirit, there's only one teacher and He is the Holy Spirit. And the way that He gets sound doctrine over to you is praying in other tongues and meditating the Word. Praise God. Praise God. So you know what that makes me? That makes me feel safe. I'm inoculating you against me. If I can fool you, I'm scared that you might fool me. Well, then you're scared that I'll tell you what you're not doing. You're not praying in tongues. You might fool me. Well, then you're not praying in tongues. If you pray in tongues, nobody can fool you. Eventually, you'll work yourself out of it. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. pray in tongues and meditate the Word. Paul said this thing, a devil from hell, came out of hell. And he had one assignment. Can you imagine one devil just having one assignment? Just you. And you know why he said it was? Because of the abundance of his revelation knowledge. But he said, it's doubtless. He said, it's not expedient for me to glory. You know that word expedient? The same one when Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. That word expedient means profitable. Paul said, it's not profitable for me to glory. He said, I will come to visions and revelation. Can you imagine a walk where you told somebody, look, this is foolishness for me to brag on myself, but the reason why he was doing it was to turn away bad teachers. And he had to tell them what was working in his life so he could tell them, look, them guys, they're bringing you into bondage. But he said, I will come. Can you imagine saying, look, there's no need for me to talk about this. The walk that I'm on, he said emphatically, verse 1, chapter 12, 2 Corinthians, I will come to visions and revelations. In other words, where I'm on with Christ, it is a done deal. Not only have I had visions and revelations that I'm about to tell you about, I will come to these. They will continually come to me on this path. There will be a continual flow from my Father of revelation knowledge and visions and understanding. And why? Why? Because he cited over in 1 Corinthians 14, his source of revelation knowledge was praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not only the only bunch that's going to have it. There's going to be worldwide people. There's a lot more than us. Boy, I want to segregate. I want to separate ourselves from that spirit. It's us and no more. But I'll tell you, no matter how they say it, they'll still be doing the same thing. They'll still be praying in tongues. And they'll still be meditating the Word. And there'll be a soundness of doctrine that'll take the weirdness out. That'll take the flesh out. And cause us to get there. Hallelujah.